And welcome back to Coast, and welcome back to Open Lines. That's right, we've got 2 hours. Let's let our minds drift a little bit. They're open lines. You talk what you want to talk about, but let us have some fun tonight on Coast to Coast. We'll talk about strange things, scary things, all those kinds of things. Okay, welcome back to Coast, and let's go right to the calls because these next 2 hours are going to go by way too fast. We go to Bill in Louisville, Kentucky. Hey, Bill, what's going on?
Hey, not too much, George. Hey, I wanted to make a comment on these names because the names of these cryptids, because I am still a skeptic, okay?
Okay, sure.
But I was very cynical until I moved to this Kentucky area. And they have this legend here about the Pope Lick or the Kentucky Goat Man. Now, just based on Goat Man, I laughed the first time I heard it. I thought, oh, that's obviously a joke. But no, I mean, I've talked to people that have seen it or have glimpsed it, you know, or have retold tales of people who have seen it. And they don't literally mean a goat man. That's just the closest proximity. That's just the closest thing they can relate it to.
Sure.
Many of them get frustrated. They get frustrated when, you know, they even say it, but, you know, because it's just, like I said, it's just the nearest thing. Like, I think a lot of us...
But it's got features. It's got features like a goat?
Honestly, I'll just make this quick. Here's what I think it is. I think they're relating it to the goat man because it has, like, a, like a goatee. Like what we would say is a goatee on a man.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes goats themselves have a little chin.
Yeah, they do. They look like little people sometimes.
Yes, there's that, and it's the vocalizations. The vocalizations are what they're relating to as like a goat.
Good point. We had a picture up on the Coast to Coast website a couple months ago of a goat that had a goatee and looked like the face of a human. It was uncanny. I think it's still there if you want to go back in the archives and search for that. It was really, really weird. We've got Gene in Rawlings, Wyoming. Hi, Gene. Good morning to you.
Good morning. I am so glad I got to talk to you.
Perfect.
I hope I don't lose your connection. This is something really weird. It's mostly weird. You know, you had the Sleeping Prophet on a while back, and it's been bugging me ever since that he said Trump was going to lose. But he was going to pick a running mate named Cash. Well, that's been bugging me. And then when he picked Pence, I thought, well, that's not Cash, until it occurred to me, Pence is a penny. That's funny.
That's right.
And then it occurred to me, what's on the penny? Lincoln. What's Hillary keep saying? The party of Lincoln.
Uh-huh. Synchronicity.
Isn't that weird?
That is strange.
So we need to get that guy back on there and get him a nap. And we need to find out about Hillary and her running mate once she picked him.
And that's going to come up pretty, pretty soon. Thanks, Gene. Appreciate you being part of the program. Open line. Skype is open, too, by the way, at George97313. If you want to give that a try, let's go to John in Elkhorn, Wisconsin. Good morning, John. Welcome to Coast.
Thanks for having me on, George. Long-time listener.
Very welcome.
Anyway, so I live near a road called Bray Road. Anyway, since the 30s, there have been, like, dogman sightings, like a werewolf almost.
Yes.
And it's pretty weird stuff. But anyways, I was walking in my woods and stuff a couple weeks ago. I found the leg of a deer up in a tree about, like, 7 feet up. It was just really freaky.
Tell me more about this, though. That scared the living daylights out of you?
Yes, it was just freaky. I wasn't expecting it, but like, and it was a fresh kill, and it looked like it was like torn off of a deer. It was just,
oh, jeez,
so much.
I got to tell you. That's you're giving me an idea that in addition to open lines, check in with us on the scariest thing that you have ever seen, something that has happened, that you witnessed, whatever it might be, whether it was a tornado barreling down on your community or whatever, the scariest thing you've ever seen. We've got Robert in Dillonville, Ohio now, east of the Rockies. Robert, good morning to you.
Yeah, good morning, George. How you doing?
I am well, thank you.
And I'd like to wish you a belated birthday. I heard you celebrated your birthday.
June 4th. Thank you. I appreciate that. It's already come and gone, and I'm thinking about the next one now.
Yeah, that's what I'm waiting on mine, too. You know, I've been on dialysis now for 24 years.
24? How often do you need to do that?
I do that 3 times a week, 4 hours on a machine.
Okay. And you just
well.
You got to lie down, don't you?
No, we could sit in a reclining chair.
You can. Okay. What do? Watch television and read a book or something like that?
Yeah, something like that. Do something like that.
Well, and how many operating kidneys do you have?
I have none.
No kidneys at all?
My old ones are still in there, but they didn't take them out.
What happened? Why did they stop functioning?
Doctor said it was because I was born with underdeveloped kidneys.
Now, how come you never got a transplant?
Well, I did get a transplant, but it failed. It lasted only 3 weeks.
And that one is still in you, too, obviously.
No, they took it out.
Oh, they did. Okay, and what did they put in there if you still have two?
That's just my original kidneys.
Well, wait a minute. They didn't take that out when they put the transplanted one in?
No.
You're kidding me. They keep that in there, too?
Yeah, they kept the other ones, the original ones.
I didn't know that. So that's a standard procedure?
I guess so.
They keep the other ones in, and they add the other one in. I think if you get a liver operation or transplant, which is very rare, they probably take that one out, I would think.
Yeah. Well, it depends on the patient. Some patients, they get their old kidneys taken out. Other ones, they keep them in. I don't know why they do that, but that's what I learned. I'm doing fine, doing great.
Good for you.
And I got a second access. They put one just recently in my right upper arm.
Well, let's hope you fight the good fight.
Yeah, I hope I do. As long as you keep, you watch your fluids, you watch your diet.
That's right.
You'll live a long time.
Good for you. You keep doing it. All right. Nothing like it. Dialysis. They said Osama bin Laden was on one of those, too, a long, long time ago. Keith in Rochester, New York. Welcome to the show. Hi, Keith.
Yes, I want to talk about what's going on in Turkey.
All right.
Apparently, the attempted coup is failing, and that's bad. The Turkish president, Erdogan, is a bad guy. He's an Islamist. He's taking away from the founder of modern-day Turkey, Kemal Atatürk, the idea of a secular and more Western Turkey.
You're absolutely right. And his son ships oil for ISIS.
Right. He sucks a lot of people in. I know I've had several conversations with the leader of the local Islamic Center, and they buy in fully that Erdogan is in moderation. They just don't see what's going on. And these are Americans, to say it, who have good faith in what's going on with the Turkish leadership, but they're being bamboozled. And we had a chance here to get rid of this guy. Apparently it's fizzling.
I think so, too. They've arrested like almost 800 soldiers, maybe even more now at this point.
Well, I know that Obama and he are good phone buds. It was stated that Erdogan and Obama talked more with each other than Obama did with any other foreign leader. That was usually reserved for whomever was the British prime minister. But Obama, and I'm going to get political here, has a habit of going with the wrong side before the Egyptian military properly overthrew the Muslim Brotherhood. Obama was backing the Brotherhood.
Instead of Mubarak, and look what happened there.
Well, we need a strong hand. The United States, not to bore your audience, has a long habit of going in with these dictatorships that take away from the rights of the people. And you and I are going to disagree. I think Saddam Hussein had to be removed. He was killing his people. When we went in there, some wag said that Saddam had murdered all of the would-be Thomas Jeffersons, and that's what happened. When you go in and kill off good people, you just walk into a country like we did in Iraq and find that there's no one to pick up the mantle of a would-be new democracy. And you and I are going to disagree because
we disagree on that. I agree with you about the situation in Turkey.
Well, all right, we'll leave it at that. But hopefully Erdogan will get a real wake-up call that he can't repress his people and he's got to bring Turkey back to its more secular state.
I wonder if we were helping the military in this coup, which quickly seems to have failed. That's pretty darn fast. Some of the pictures I saw tonight and videos, tanks, and the Turkish troops were not going to fire some of these kids that were running all over the thing and everything else. But as it stands right now, 90 people killed, most of them in Ankara, Turkey. 90 killed, hundreds injured, but probably close to 1,500 soldiers now have been arrested. And for them, that's not a good thing because the president is saying there, the Turkish president, that this is treason. So that's not good. Let's go to Gene in Albuquerque, in New Mexico. Happens to be, obviously, west of the Rockies. Hello, Gene.
Hello, George. How are you tonight?
Fine, thank you.
George, are you familiar with New Mexico at all?
A little bit. I've been there a couple times. I was at one of the museums, but I've never lived there. So I've been to Roswell, but quick days, 1 day, 2 days, and then out.
Ever heard of Gallup?
Gallup?
Yep.
I have not.
Gallup is a border town on the New Mexico-Arizona border on I-40
when you
cross into Arizona. It's the Indian Reservation, north. It's all Native American Navajo.
G-A-L-L-U-P, right?
Yeah, G-A-L-L-U-P.
Yeah, okay, I've had a couple calls from there.
Well, I lived out there. I was married to a Navajo girl. And I'm writing a book, actually. You'll enjoy it when it gets out here.
Okay, let us know. Maybe you'll be a guest.
I probably will be. But here's one of the little excerpts from the book. I lived out in south of Gallup. When you go south, you go up in altitude, okay, about 8,000 feet, 8,500 feet. It's all pine trees, mountainous. The reservation, it's all checkerboard out that way when you get up that way. And her family had land way out in the middle of nowhere. I mean, it's beautiful. I can't begin to describe where I was at. Very few Belaganas, white people, have ever been out there. I've been to Yeviches, Second Night, ceremonies, you name it. I pretty much was Navajo, but I was hunting out there, and
okay,
this was the story. Got up one morning real early, left the Hogan, and we lived way out there. No electricity, no running water, okay? Took off, was actually looking for elk, and it was that season, and I'm up way up on the mesas. I get out there probably about 7 o'clock, sun's coming up,
mm-hmm,
and something's following me.
You could feel it, hear it?
I'm an ex-Navy corpsman, 8404. I know when something's following me. And I'm about a mile and a half back in, and this is way out in the middle of nowhere. So I go around, I end up on a box canyon on top of this mesa that overlooks Zuni, okay, the Zuni Reservation. It's like a 1,000-foot drop-off.
Wow.
Okay?
Okay.
Anyhow.
Don't fall off.
Real quick, I head back toward this box canyon to try to get away from whatever's following me. And all of a sudden, I hear these, thundering footsteps, and I lean up against the wall, and here comes about 7 horses out of the middle of nowhere in this box canyon.
Wild horses.
Wild horses. I get around the box canyon, and there it is. It jumps off the top of a 20-foot dead-end box canyon there, and I'm at the bottom of the arroyo, I'm looking up, and then now I'm looking at it, and it jumped 1 foot down, 1 foot up on the other side. Okay?
What did it look like? What was it?
It was exactly what everybody says that you guys are talking about.
These Bigfoot-looking creatures.
Dude, I'm in the middle of the Indian Reservation on the top of the mesa. It's a It blew my mind. It looked right at me. I was less than 50 yards from it. I took off running. I didn't freak. I took off running because I'm from Ohio. I'm from Cincinnati, a little town outside of Cincinnati. I grew up Ducks Unlimited. I was armed to the hilt. I ran around the Box Canyon, got out of the Box Canyon as quick as I could. Then something threw a rock at me, and it was a huge rock.
Huh. Like a boulder type? 6 inches, something like
about,
that?
I'd say it weighed about 8 pounds.
Okay, and that could have killed you.
It would have killed me. And I looked, and I tripped. At 120, 130 yards, there it was, standing right looking at me. And I'm sorry, George, but...
It threw a rock that far?
That far. I am telling you.
Should be playing football.
it blew my mind. An 8 pound rock at about at least 120 yards. Okay. So, and this thing was not small. This thing was huge. Okay.
8 feet.
And I'm armed with a 270. Okay. 4x15x50. And I am a crack shot. Let me tell you what, I hit it.
What do you mean you hit it?
I hit it. It took 2 steps and poof, just disappeared into the air. It was like it was never there. Footprints were there. No blood.
That's strange.
True story.
Footprints there, no blood. You hit it and it disappeared. The minute you think you hit it, it was gone.
Dude, I know I hit it. I watched it. I seen its expression.
How tall do you think it was?
Oh, and it had to have been at least 8.5 feet, probably weighed close to 600 pounds.
So now, Gene, what do you think what do you think it is in terms of where it might be from?
Well, I don't know where it's from, but wherever it came from, when I hit it, it had the ability to just disappear into thin air. So
sounds dimensional to me.
I looked, I followed the footprints, I walked right, 120 yards, wasn't that far. I'm on top of a mesa, it had nowhere to go.
What a great story.
That's why I threw the rock.
And that was it. Never again did you see something like that?
Never again did I see anything like that, but never again did I ever go back in those picture by myself ever again.
When's the book done, by the way?
Huh?
When's the book done?
I'm hopefully have it done about a year and a half from, maybe about a year. If trying to hustle on it. I've got stories about skinwalkers. And by the way, I'm a registered nurse, so I'm not joking.
well, good for you.
It should be done about a year and a half. But yeah, I've seen all kinds of things out there. Those mountains, the Zuni Mountains out that way, from Fort Wingate all the way over.
I wanted to ask you, though, any Native American folklore about this creature?
Their family talked about it, all their cousins, all the relatives, they've all seen it, they've all had an experience, not just with it, but with, with what they claim, skinwalker.
Did they all talk about it disappearing?
It has the ability just to poof, disappear into thin air. Like it's there, and then it's not.
Then it's not. I wonder if it cloaks itself somehow.
Well, one night, my wife's brother was coming back. I don't know why he was walking. He was out drinking. He was coming back. But he wasn't drunk or anything like that. But he said a skinwalker, had attacked him in the woods coming back. Because, like I said, we lived in the
same thing. Somewhere. And disappears.
Disappears, but he can't breathe. And then, my mother-in-law, who speaks no English, I speak some Navajo, actually. She put some ash on his forehead and said some words, and, he calmed down. He told the story of what had followed him.
My gosh. Something's going on then. Something. I don't know if it's dimensional or what, but they could be able to cloak themselves. That's possible. Time for our shout-out to those of you listening on our 615 radio stations across North America. Thank you. Coast Insiders, thank you for everything. And then SiriusXM Talk Channel 146. And then all the various chat rooms that are out there. You know them. They're all out there. And then, of course, the Hollywood Ghost Hunters. Thanks for supporting Coast to Coast AM. Okay, welcome back to Coast. Let's go to our wild card lines now. Cornelius in Alexandria, Louisiana. Hello, Cornelius.
George. How did you know I wanted to hear Louis Armstrong, What a Wonderful World?
I just kind of figured it.
That was perfect. Look, I was telling Donna, your call screener, since she gave old Tommy the night off, I heard something strange outside. I saw the moon and stuff, and we got a guy named Moon Grafana. He has a radio talk show, and he's got, I think he made his 6,000th show today.
Oh, good for him.
And he's on, like, from 9 a.m. to 11 right before Rush, but he's the number one talk show in Louisiana, but he's something else. He had a live remote here in Alexandria, and so I got a shirt from him. I said, well, maybe one day I can get Tommy and George to make a shirt for Coast to Coast, and maybe I'll get a shirt from you. So I don't know if that's an idea.
You know what? I've got one for you, and I can get it to you.
Wow!
As a matter of fact, yeah. Yeah, I've got one for you. It's a brand new one. It says Coast to Coast on it. I can't remember the size, but I've got one.
Okay. I wanted to say something. I don't know if you heard about this. On Glenn Beck today, they were talking about Anonymous saying that they want these days of rage and that essentially they're falling loose for, so they're going to try to attack different police agencies or something like that, you know, today.
Yes, there was a rumor about that even in St. Louis. I was getting some text messages from friends, and thank God nothing's happened, at least as far as I know.
But I think it's supposed to be today, not...
So you mean Saturday?
Yes.
Okay, they thought it was last night, but let's find out.
But I know the Baton Rouge Police Department has had death threats, and, of course, Dallas has too, but...
Of course, yeah.
Ours... They stole some guns. Well, I'm not in Baton Rouge per se. I'm in Alexandria, 2 hours north of Baton Rouge. But they stole some guns out of a pawn shop and said they wanted to target police.
Jeez.
We need to pray for all our boys in blue and everything. And George, we love you in the corrections and the police officers because you care about police officers and the military.
Absolutely. And I always will. Cornelius, thank you. Let's go to Annie in Birmingham, Alabama. Hi, Annie.
Thank you, George. It's a good thing that man had his kidney left in, even if it was a third one, because on Vanderbilt University website, vanderbilt.edu, they have a study which has found that endothelial coronary artery cells can act as stem cells to regenerate the damaged heart, so they're going to leave that heart in. And I believe that the key to regenerating damaged organs is found in liver cells or skin
stem cells. That's right. No, you're right.
They can regenerate so well. My grandmother grew a new liver, and I hope that perhaps heart cells and other organ cells can be tricked into thinking they are liver cells or skin cells, and whatever is in those liver cells, hopefully they can find it and put it in the heart.
Well, they're making new organs outside of the body with people's stem cells, and I think kidneys may be one of them. You just, you know, grow it and put it back in the person. There's no rejection. It's their cells.
Well, this would never have to come out. These organs that are being regenerated.
You just inject them, I guess, right? And they repair themselves?
My grandmother's liver never had to come out. She just grew a new liver because the liver regenerates. And I would like to see it so that organs can just regenerate
yeah.
right in place.
Oh, that'd be great.
Liver did.
That'd be great.
That's what I want to see.
All right, Annie, thanks. That's a great science story, too. Next up, we've got Jeff in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, first-time caller. Hey, Jeff, good morning to you, sir.
Hiya, George.
Hi.
First-time caller, long time listener.
Well, thank you. What finally got you to call?
Well, there was a caller to call before the break. He alluded to the Bray Road Beast. He's a fella that mentioned a deer leg that was 7 feet up in the tree.
Yes.
I'm fairly certain I've seen that and know what it is.
What is it?
Well, my neighbor had a tree that was hollowed out. And about 20 years ago when I first moved into my house, I saw this creature digging in his tree early in the morning. And this went on for about a week. He put some sheet metal over the hole to stop this from digging in there, and it ripped it off. So I went over there, and I said, what's that crazy-looking huge raccoon thing you have ripping your tree apart? And he tells me it's a wolverine. And I'm like, there's no way. A wolverine is crazy. I've never seen a wolverine in person, but I have a sneaking suspicion after going on the Internet. Years later, when I got the Internet, reading about the history of the Bray Road Beast and how it was ripping into barns and eating raccoons and supposedly people went missing and whatnot, I think they're talking about that wolverine.
Maybe. They're mean. They're mean little creatures, aren't they?
Well, that's what I'm told. This one never did any harm in my way or my direction, but I've seen them out my window quite a few times. I tried to record them. It was always in the very early morning when the sun was just coming up at dawn, and it came out really digital. And then just like that, it disappeared. But he was making a mess in my neighbor's yard for a while. And then years later, a friend tells me about the Bray Road Beast urban myth around here. And sure thing, I go to the museum and I see a stuffed Wolverine and start putting two and two together. I'm kind of wondering if that's what people seen.
There hasn't been one seen
in this area in hundreds of years in Wisconsin and down this far south. But they come along the river around here. You see some crazy little, you know, I see minks and all kinds of different things. So a few years ago, we had a cougar down here, and it was ended up getting shot in Kenosha. And they did a DNA test. It was actually a wild cougar that came from Canada. Somehow made it through all these suburbs, made it down here into my area, neck of the woods. So it happens. This last year, we had a big hunt for what they thought was a mountain lion in this area as well.
I would guess most of the creatures that people see are probably natural and explainable. Most of them. But then you've got that small percent that they really could be these strange little creatures. Talking about little creatures, here in Los Angeles, there's a little charcoal cat that always comes around the house. Always, always, always. Stray cat. And so I bought a whole bunch of cat food and put it out for him. And he comes and eats it, and off he goes. This morning, he shows up again, walking on three legs, holding up his front paw, his left front paw, and he's walking on three legs, hopping. And so I fed him. But I think what I'm going to try to do, and I've talked to some people about this, because, you know, if you're an animal lover, you got to do your thing. I'm going to catch him. I'm going to catch him and take him to a vet and get that foot fixed. I don't know what's wrong with it, whether he broke it or stepped on a thorn or what, but he's walking on he's hopping on three legs, holding up the one in the front. But I'm going to do that. I'm going to catch him and take him to a vet and fix him up. And then what do I do with him? I can't keep the pet. I've traveled too much. It's not fair to that. I'd be going to a cat kennel every other weekend. Let's go to Tim in New Boston, Michigan. Hi, Tim. It's your turn on Coast to Coast. Go ahead.
Hey, George. It's truly an honor to speak to you. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
I had a question for the Bigfoot guy, but I really am curious what you think. What do you think about urban Bigfoots? If you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if you're familiar with Belleville, Michigan. It's
Oh, sure. I was born in Detroit.
Okay, well, there you go. So you know where it is.
I used to go out to the Northville and that area.
Oh, okay. All right.
The racetrack was there and everything else.
Yeah, okay. Well, I live, it's, you know, it's a city, but there's some wooded areas around the city, and I happen to live off in the back.
Okay.
Very far off the road, and I've got probably 3 or 4 acres of woods back there. And I'd say for about 10 years, there's been some strange things that I just kind of, you know, just kind of baffled me, you know. And it never occurred to me that it could be a Bigfoot or anything like that. It just never entered my mind until a few years ago. And then I thought, you know, I wonder, you know. And then I started looking at these things, you know, through the eyes of a Bigfoot person. And they started making sense. Things started making more sense. I'm thinking, you know, that would explain that. That would explain that, you know. And, I've talked to people like Tom Biscardi, and I've talked to a few other people, and I get the feeling they don't really believe me. And, you know, I don't blame them, really. But I've had, I'm a writer. I've been in the back room. I'll go in the back room to write, and I open the window all the way, whether it's winter or summer. And I'll be sitting there, and this has happened probably 3 times to me over the past, I'd say, 10 years.
Well, that's still a lot.
Yeah, I think so, too. And when it happens, it's freaky. But I've heard, like, growling noises. you know, and I'll turn around and I'll look, and it's dark out and I don't really see anything. And then I'll hear some footfalls and then something else. And it happens more often in the rain when it's raining.
Why would that be? Why the rain?
I don't really know. I don't really have any idea. And one time I was outside at night and all of a sudden I hear these real fast footfalls from one end of my woods to the other. And it took maybe 5 seconds to do that,
wow,
which amazed me. I was like, holy, you know, what the heck was that? You know, and that was before I ever thought about Bigfoot or anything. I just didn't know what it was, you know, for years. But now I'm starting to think, okay, I know what that was.
Well, it sounds like, too, you know, when you talk about these urban creatures, they're getting closer and closer. I wonder what's driving them out of the woods.
You know, who knows? It could be construction, you know, that sort of
could
thing.
Could be anything, sure.
Element, you know.
Could be. Hey, thanks for the story. I appreciate all the stories tonight. Kevin's in Toronto, Canada. Hi, Kevin, on the international line. Go ahead, Kev.
Hi, George.
Hello there.
A long-time listener, about 15, 16 years.
That's
now.
A long time. Thank you.
I'm a Native American from further north, but I didn't grow up on reserve. But anyhow, I had a scary story about the scariest thing I've never seen.
All right, what happened?
Well, thank God.
Yeah.
But anyhow, it's a documented story. Starts out when I was about 9 or 10. I was told by my teacher to read the newspaper to help me with my English reading. So I'm reading the newspaper, and I come across an article in regards to a poltergeist in an apartment in my hometown in St. Catharines, which is just outside of Niagara Falls. And so I read about the story, and apparently a family was invaded by a poltergeist, and there was furniture moving around, and
oh boy,
pin a little boy in the corner and stuff, and there was witnesses. It's well documented. There was like firefighters and police and priests and everything there. And that was rather scary, like myself, just reading the story, but it never mentioned where this apartment was. So fast forward to my late teens, early 20s, a friend of mine invited me to her place to visit her new place, her new apartment, and I said, sure, I'll come over, and brought over a six-pack and went to visit, and started listening to different albums, like we used to listen to heavy metal and stuff, like Black Sabbath and stuff like that.
Sure, that is heavy.
I only had a garden.
That is heavy.
Yeah. But anyhow, so I'm over at her place, and I had a couple beers, and then she had to wake her sister up, was sleeping in the next bedroom. And I said, oh, we'll go in there and we'll wake her up together. So we went in there and woke her up. She had to go to work. So anyhow, she went to the bathroom, and her sister went in the kitchen, and I remained in the bedroom, and I was just looking at, admiring some of the pictures up on the wall and stuff like that. And what happened was I started getting bounced around, like literally pushed.
Jeez.
By something I couldn't see against the
Could
wall.
Could you feel it pushing you?
Not really, but it was like, it was like I was kind of like losing my balance, but I wasn't drunk. I only had like one or two beers, right?
That, yeah, you can't get drunk. Well, some people can, I guess.
Well, not me when I was that young. I used to.
You're used to it.
But anyhow, yeah, I felt myself being pushed against the walls all around the room, and I got out of that room real quick, and I was like, what the heck?
Was it trying to hurt you?
Not necessarily, but just rather pushing me rather abruptly, though, that's for sure. But fast forward, about 20 years later, my daughter, I had told this story to my daughter about the newspaper article and everything. My daughter calls me up one evening and she says, oh, Dad, because she grew up in the same town. She goes, oh, Dad, you know that story you told me about the poltergeist in that apartment? And I said, yeah, yeah. And she goes, She says, oh, it's right above that pizza place we used to go to. And I was like, no way, that's the exact apartment where that girl invited me to.
Ha! Ah, how about that for synchronicity there, Ken? That's truly amazing. I think I have time for one more quick call, if I can, before the break. Walt in Pennsylvania. Hey, Walt, will a minute do you justice?
I'll try, George. I tried to get through to you. I'm gratified I got through to you again. I called last week on Wednesday night, and I was put on hold twice, and I was hung up on twice. And the first time, I believe it was Mr. Danheiser, told me the computer did it.
We have a computer that sometimes thinks for itself, Walter.
Oh, well, you must be a liberal computer then. You're trying to censor me.
Maybe.
Well, yeah. I wanted to make a comment on the, you know, on the Dallas ambush shooting of the police. From what I understand, the shooter used an STS rifle, and I don't know how conversant you are with the military firearms, George, but simply put, it would have been impossible for one man armed with an ATS, which it's not a clip-fed weapon. It's a fixed magazine that takes 10 rounds. And George, even if he would have used an AR or an AK type firearm, he would have had to have been a cross between Annie Oakley and Django to perpetrate what he did.
So you think there were more than one?
Obviously, George. They said that immediately after the shooting, the police chief there said it was a setup. It was triangulated shooting. And, you know, it was a turkey shooting, an ambush, and they even said they had four other suspects in custody.
Yeah, no, I know. It was weird that he was able, they said, to bop around so quickly and shoot.
It just smells fishy there, George. You know, the guy was, it's a proven fact. I guess they said he was a Black Panther and he was a Muslim. And, you know, you remember what they were trying to do with Fast and Furious down there with Eric Holder. And Eric Holder's been protecting the Panthers. He refused to prosecute the Philadelphia Panthers here when they blocked the voting booths, you know, with the nightsticks. It all smells fishy, George.
Well, a lot of people think that. They do. I know he was one of them, at least. And let's hope he was the only one.